We've been looking at the book of Romans, and we're almost finished with that, and I think probably in the next week or two we'll conclude. What I've been doing the first Sundays of the month when we celebrate communion is focus on our theme for the year, which this year our theme, our church theme, is conform to Christ's image. And the verse that we are focusing on in that is Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so we're seeking to pursue a life that we are becoming more and more like Jesus in our attitudes and our actions and our behavior towards one another. And the previous month, last month, we began looking at 1 Peter. 1 Peter actually has a lot of good wisdom when it comes to seeking to live before the Lord in holiness. And in 1 Peter 1:13, we looked at this passage: therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. And we talked a little bit about being alert and sober. And in fact, this means gird up your loins. And we talked about how the ancient Romans, when they were especially ready, the men, to go into battle, they had to gird their loins, and they had to take their cloaks, and they had to fold them up in a way that they can now run, and they can they can be part of the battle. And so if any of you happen to have a toga or this type of clothing, there's instructions, and this is what you do in order to be able to run around in a in this kind of cloak. But the point is that we be ready, we be alert, ready for battle in order to seek to serve the Lord, becoming more like Him. And then the second part of the verse, it says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. And so our hope is on not only on the grace that we received when we accepted Christ and the grace we continue to receive now, but the grace that we'll receive at the coming of Jesus. And we talked a little bit about that we should live in light of His coming, and as we anticipate Christ's coming, that should impact the way that we behave and our motivation to serve the Lord in holiness. And so that was the first a part of this section in 1 Peter, and we're going to continue that today. Now, as I was reflecting on this particular message and our theme of becoming more like Christ, I couldn't help but think of this term life hacker. I don't know if you are that familiar with it, but back in the day, if someone was called a hack, that was a bad thing. That was someone who wasn't performing very well or did a bad job at something. But now, hack is actually a term that is used for improvement, for doing well. And I actually looked up a definition of hack. This is actually a website, Lifehacker. And a hack is to make one's activities more efficient, to cause to change, to make different, to cause a transformation. And so these websites like Lifehack originated in the technology world in order to help developers and the like to become more efficient in their programming and in their processes of doing what they do in technology. But then it eventually began to migrate into the thought and ideas of how we can be more efficient at work, how we can be more productive. And then now, with Lifehack, it actually has taken on this meaning of how one can become a better person or transform their lives in some way. Maybe becoming more organized, maybe becoming less lazy, maybe becoming a better friend to people around you. And so those who aren't necessarily seeking God still have a desire to become a better person. But of course, we're called to an even higher calling, not just the externals, but actually internally becoming more like Christ. And that's where we see Peter speaking about, what we see him speaking about in our passage today in 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. So let's please read this together. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because for I am holy. Now, the beginning of this verse, we see as obedient children. This is something that those of us who are parents always hope for, that our children obey. And as I was actually looking up what it takes to be an obedient child, there was actually some interesting articles. There was one person who was actually had an article saying, "I don't want my children to be obedient." And I'm like, what? You want your children to disobey you? And they're like, I want my child to be free, and I want them to do what they want and to express themselves. And I can just think of this, the children of this parent just running wild, having a good time. But then other articles I read were actually saying that children thrive in an environment where they are obedient. And I think, and I'm not expert in psychology, but children like to have boundaries and rules, and they sometimes test those rules, but they actually feel safe when they have these rules and they can abide by them and hopefully be obedient. And so there was actually a wiki, another new term, you know, that you can go onto this site and learn how to be a obedient child. So most of you probably are a little bit older now. Some of you are in high school and middle school, but you can learn how to be an obedient child. And I think there's some relevance to this as well, even as adults, because we may have parents alive as well. But even in terms of how we treat our Heavenly Father, in some respects anyway, but this article gave some tips. It's a hack, in a sense, a life hack for children. Respect your elders, especially your parents. Develop obedience, and they said when you do this, this means when your parents tell you to do something, do it right away. That's something Zach has to work on a little bit. He usually is obedient. It takes him a couple times of reminding him, but anyway, I have to show him this article later. It says, accept that you are a child and you're not the one in charge. Parents aren't necessarily to be the friend of the child, but their parent. Have a servant attitude, to actually look to see how they can serve in different ways, not even their chores, and to be forgiving. And I looked at this list, I'm like, well, this is in some respect even how we as children of God can treat our Heavenly Father and seek to be obedient. As Peter said, as obedient children, we are called to seek obedience to our Heavenly Father. Now, the Apostle Peter goes on, and he says, do not conform, as obedient children, do not conform to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And so he's again calling us to flee from these evil desires, to not conform to these evil desires. And so our theme verse is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then this is actually the corresponding opposite, rather than the focus on being conformed to Christ. Now Peter's saying, do not be conformed to evil desires, or to be conformed to the pattern of the world. And so we'll seek to, when those around us, if there's a school of fish that are doing evil things, then we're called to be the fish that goes against the grain of the current and do what the Lord wants us to do. And I couldn't help but think of the passage in 1 John 2:14 and 16, where John lays out the fact that some of these evil desires are the lust of the flesh. Do not be conformed to the world, to the lust of the flesh, to the boastful pride of life. And so we're called to live in conformity not to the values of the world, but to Jesus Christ and what He calls us to be and how to live. Then the Apostle Peter goes on and says, but just as He who called you is holy, be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, as Christians, we talk a lot about living a holy life to God. Holiness isn't necessarily something that is a vocabulary word that most people would know apart from the church. So sometimes it might even be for us, because it's not a common word, what does it actually really mean? Well, Dr. John Piper has written this in a message that he had given about what holiness is. He says, holiness has a root idea in the Old Testament of being separated from what is defective and evil and separated to God. So the Sabbath is holy to the Lord, separated from the pursuits of other days and dedicated to the Lord. Priests are holy to the Lord, set apart from ordinary pursuits and dedicated in a special way to the Lord. And things could be holy by setting them apart from ordinary use, by dedicating them to God. And so in the temple of the Lord, the priests would dedicate things like chalices and plates and bowls and the like. They would have been much more expensive than these common things that we use. They would have been gold, but they weren't special so much because of the value of the metal that was used or the precious stones. But it was actually valuable because the priest would set them apart to God for holy use. And so Peter's saying, and there's also this idea of holiness is being separated from what is defective and evil. And so when we think about God, God is not only holy other, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, different from us, but also holy in his character and in his being. And in fact, when we think about Isaiah and when he came before the Lord at the temple, he fell to his knees and said that I am a people, we are a people of unclean lips, because Isaiah recognized how, compared to the holiness of God, how the moral purity of God, that he was one and his people were those that just could not measure up in their purity before the Lord. And so we do have quite a task ahead of us in seeking holiness, and I'll be the first to admit to say that achieving pure holiness this side of heaven is impossible. We can strive for holiness, and the Lord wants us to be holy as he is holy, but nonetheless we know this is an ongoing project, as you will, as we seek the Lord in our lives, seeking to be more like him. And so we need to take time in confession, and we need to take time to redouble our efforts, in a sense, when we stray, in order to seek to be more like him. Now, when we look at this verse, and Peter is saying, be holy in all that you do, be holy because I am holy, he doesn't really go into that much instruction at this point as to what it means to be holy, what it means to live a life of purity in and of ourselves before the Lord. And in a sense, there is a tension in this as well. In John 17, the high priestly prayer that Jesus gives, Jesus says that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so we have this tension. We do want to live a holy life before the Lord, but we realize that living such a holy life before the Lord doesn't necessarily mean removing ourselves from society or our friends or our family. Some have sought to do this, maybe some in monasteries and the like, going off to pray for even long periods of time, or the Amish or others who just seek to have a very close-knit community because they want to be unstained by the world. But Jesus says, no, you are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so there is this tension. And I like what Reverend Joel Santos actually said about this in terms of our seeking holiness in our lives. He says, we must act differently, look differently, talk differently, think differently. Christians must be distinct and separate from the attitudes and actions characterized by the unbelievers. There must be changes in our whole being. And that's what this meaning of holiness is, to make changes in our whole being. As we interact with the world, those around us will see a difference that is made in our lives. Now, as I said, Peter didn't really give a whole lot of instructions of what we can do to be holy. So I came up with this little thing. A blog writer had their ideas, but how to be holy in all that you do. I have some of my own ideas, which I decided to put together in this little, what do you call this? Not an acronym. And so, now you could come up with a whole lot more than, it's not an acronym, is it an acronym? Acrostic, okay. Okay, so I have an acrostic, and hopefully this can help us, help guide us in our thinking of how we can live a life holy unto the Lord. Now, I can think of a whole lot more than just these, so this is not exhaustive, but it does fit the acrostic of holiness, and so hopefully that will help us remember ways that we can apply this to our lives. And the first is hope, And that is actually what we talked about, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the message, what we talked about last time, and it's from the verse ahead where we are to set our hope that is given when Jesus is revealed. Jesus Christ is revealed. And so our hope is on Jesus coming back again, and we should live according to the fact that He will come back and live our lives accordingly. So have the hope of Jesus in our heart can make a big difference in leading a holy life to God. The second is obey. And so we've again talked a little bit about obey, and we should obey as obedient children. And Jesus actually said these words in John 14. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands." And so Jesus' desire for his disciples and for us who follow him even now is to show our love to Jesus by obeying what he tells us to do. And we see much of what he's told us to do in the Gospels. Thirdly, light shine. And so most of us know the verse in Matthew 5, let your light shine in the darkness. And so that is what we're called to do. And I think actually letting our light shine before men, before others, that they may see your works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, Matthew 5:16, actually can be a motivating factor in helping us to live a life pleasing to the Lord, because if those around us, especially in a secular environment, in school or work or whatever, if those around us know that we're Christians, we've identified with Christ, they'll be looking at us to see what difference that makes in our life. And so we're not called to put a bushel on the light of our lives, but to actually shine forth that light. And if people can link that, in a sense, to Jesus, that can make a difference in them knowing what it really means to live out, someone to live out their life as a Christian. Someone who's not living according to hypocrisy, which is a complaint that most rebel against the church, but they can see that there's a difference in our life, and so I think this can be a motivating factor as well. Imitate. The Apostle Paul says, well, imitate me. He was telling me, those around him, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so those around Paul, those who were following Paul, disciples of Paul in a sense, though Paul always pointed people back to Christ, and he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so Paul was seeking in his life to imitate Christ, and this was actually a big campaign. I don't know if you remember, from this is probably going back 15 years ago. I think you can still get them. It's the WWJD. Everyone probably knows that. What would Jesus do? And so there's a bit, everyone would get these bracelets and put them on their wrists, and then they would think about, what would Jesus do? Now, some people kind of push back against this. This is kind of a silly thing. But I think that there is some value to it, because it would help people think, what would Jesus do? Now, most people wouldn't necessarily, like, I actually think Jesus would act oftentimes in a much more radical manner than we would even give him credit for. So that's kind of the downside of this. But nonetheless, I think thinking through what would Jesus do in a situation can help us to live a life that imitates him. The next N, narrow road. Narrow road, and we know that verse, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And so as we walk this earth, there's many temptations for us to follow the broad road, to do things that aren't pleasing to the Lord, or to, in a sense, kind of go astray from the path that we are to be on. But to live a holy life to God is to seek to be on that narrow, to be on that narrow road, and to do according to what the Lord has called us to be. E is encourage, and I think this we know from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I think encouragement is really important in terms of living a life holy to God. Usually when we think of holiness, we think of personal holiness. How can I live a life that's pleasing to God? How can I make changes in my life? But the fact is, we can't really live a holy life apart from each other. We really need to encourage one another, and I know I've emphasized this again and again, but nonetheless, it's so important. Those who withdraw from fellowship of other believers, try to live a life of Christ on their own, usually will begin to struggle mightily, oftentimes even falling from the faith. So we really need each other to encourage one another in these times that we're in. And so we're called to encourage. S, supplication. Supplication is a fancy word for prayer. It refers to earnest prayer. be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And that's in Philippians. And so we're called to supplicate, to pray, and we can pray for our lives, for the struggles that we have, that God can help us overcome that. We can pray for each other, that those around us can experience the forgiveness of sin, that they can overcome the tribulations in their life. And we can also pray confession, as we do before communion, praying prayer of confession, seeking to be continually cleansed before the Lord when we bring our struggles before Him. And S, you might guess S, the last S is this is prayer, that's the previous one. And the last is Scripture. And we need to live according to God's Word. And the psalmist, Psalm 119, a very popular, well-known verse, especially in navigator circles that I had run with when I was in college. How can a young man keep his way pure? Not just for men, by the way. By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. And so we're called to keep our way pure by not only knowing God's word, but actually applying it to our life, hiding it in our heart, maybe memorizing it or meditating on it, that we may indeed, like we've been talking about, live a life holy to God. And so we're called indeed to be holy. And I would encourage you this week, as you seek to be holy, to think about this acrostic, to hope, to obey, to let your light shine, to imitate, to live the narrow road, to encourage, to pray, to supplicate, to focus on Scripture, hiding it in your heart. Now, obviously, I don't think we can apply all of these things to our lives in 1 week or one day or one month, but nonetheless, hopefully these things are something we can keep in mind as we seek to fulfill our theme in the coming year, and to seek to live a life of purity before the Lord. And maybe the Lord can, you can pray and think and read Scripture, and maybe one of these areas of this acrostic, the Lord maybe really may impress upon you, and you can focus on that, or you can focus on one per week or something, whatever. But nonetheless, God desires us to be holy, and part of the holiness is trusting in Him and taking some action, but taking this action according to the power that the Spirit provides. And so my encouragement to me and to all of us is to seek to be holy, to live a life of holiness this week and always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. When we look at verses about seeking to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be holy as I am holy, we can sometimes, I know I can sometimes get discouraged, knowing so far short that I fall, and we all fall, in seeking to live a life of purity before you. But Lord, help us to make progress. Help us to fight the good fight. Help us to apply many of these words and principles to our life, that indeed we may live a life of purity before you, and that as we do so, Lord, our light would so shine that it would draw others to you as well. And so we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.